So I'd like to begin by asking a resident of Mayapur, Rajasevaki Prabhu, to please say a few words about Yamuna Devi Dasi.
Panchakalpa Charivyastra Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patita Nampavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vishakha Prabhu started speaking yesterday morning after class as the servant of ceremonies. And actually said so beautifully what I think everybody who associated with Yamuna might not have put into the same words, but thought and felt of her friendship and her association. And when you said that the first time you saw her, she was listening to Srila Prabhupada, and there were tears coming from her eyes, and Prabhupada's words were like rivers flowing into the ocean of her heart, and unlike an ordinary ocean that doesn't overflow, her heart was overflowing with love. And then yesterday, here, Janavi was speaking and said basically the same thing, that everyone who came in contact with Yamuna felt her love. And in this little booklet that some of you might have seen already, Dinatarini says the same thing, that whoever came in touch with Yamuna, she was able to draw from their heart this very special element of affection, love, or devotion, this bhakti, just that combination of loving, love and devotion. It was just so rare, actually. And Yamuna did the same thing with me. I met her 18, 19 years ago here in Vrindavan. And it was immediately just an exchange of love in the simplest way. We didn't speak so much, but there was instant love. And the next time I saw her, I spoke to her a few times in between, but the next time I actually saw her was in Mayapur, the last time she was there, and we had the Sharanagati chanting every night. And I think the most striking thing about Yamuna was the love. I mean, there's only so many ways you can say it. Everybody's saying the same thing. But we don't see it so often. And I think in Yamuna, the tangible, identifiable and attractive quality of her was that love. And we felt that despite our conditioning, and the girls speak of their relationship with Yamuna, and you were born into this movement, and for those of us who joined, it's a different structural formation of how we come and what we bring with us. And there are so many obstacles to attaining that simplicity of loving devotion, but in seeing Yamuna we could see actually what it was we were trying to attain, and how easy it was, but how simple. She was very simple in her loving affection, and it made everything very easy. When we were when she was last in Mayapur, we would go in the mornings. Dinatarini would take everyone to some different pilgrimage places and we would chant. I didn't often go. I wasn't able to do so much physically. We had recently had a car accident, and but we went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house one day, and Jamuna was also not very well physically at that time, and so we would go on a rickshaw. We'd get one of the flatbed, I think Hari Bhakti would arrange the flatbed rickshaws, and Jamuna and I would go together. And you know, the disabled vehicle, we called it. And it was possibly one of the reasons that I was glad of having that accident, because it put me on the same rickshaw as Jamuna, and we would travel around to some of these places together. And you know, when we were going to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, actually it was on the way back. When we went there, we arrived first, and everybody was riding their bikes and crossing the river, you know, separately, and all coming together. And somehow Jamuna and I ended up there quite ahead of the pack. And we went into the mandir, and it was empty. And we just sat down and started chanting. And, you know, japa. And it was very, very quiet there. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house is very beautiful. At the right time of day, it's just, it's its own planet. It's so beautiful. And I was watching Jamuna, and, you know, again, she was, you know, tears coming from her eyes, and her eyes were closed, and she was chanting. And I watched her for a little while, and I thought, I wish I could chant like that. You know, I guess, you know, she's very fortunate. She's so lucky she didn't chant like that anytime she likes it. You know, it just sort of seemed like a very ordinary thing in some ways, although it was very extraordinary to watch her chanting and to be with her. Just, I assumed foolishly that it was just something she would ordinarily do. And we got on the rickshaw to leave after the program, and she sat down, and she would always lean into me and rest her head on my shoulder, which was just the sweetest thing, to be that close to her. And she said, "Braji, you know what?" And I said, "What?" She said, "That was the most ecstatic Krishna conscious day I've ever had in my life." And I felt like such a fool, because I took for granted, you know, what she never took for granted, which was the, you know, the association of somebody like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his love, his affection for everybody who gave their hearts to him so readily, which she did. And for her, it was like she meant it. It was the most ecstatic day she'd ever had in Krishna consciousness. And that just struck me as such an alarmingly innocent and simple and loving side of Jamuna that was very regular in her and her dealings and the things she said and did. And I felt like a fool, because I took something for granted that she really didn't. And every experience she had, it really was like the spiritual world. Like, you know, every experience is new. You've never experienced it before. And I thought, well, she's really living in that consciousness of the spiritual realm, that every experience she has is like the most amazing one she ever had. And I'm sure she said that so many times, you know, that this was the most ecstatic day I've ever had in my life, you know. And I can imagine that she said that so many times. And but on the way back, after she said that, she started chanting and just singing. And she sang it, but I just remembered that when we were listening to her sing. And she sang Hare Krishna, and then she got to the end and she just lifted her head and she said, "Sing, Braji." And when I hear her singing now, every time I hear her sing, I remember her voice just saying so simply, "Sing, Bhaji." And the very beautiful way, I mean, all of you were just, I was watching everyone in the room just now when we were chanting, and most people were sitting with their eyes closed, and the chanting was very sweet. Just listening to all of you chant was so sweet. And, you know, this was one thing that Jamuna was able to do with everyone, was make their chanting so beautiful. When I was with her and I chanted with her and I watched her and I listened to her, I felt that the holy name was so beautiful, and I chanted so beautifully, and she made chanting beautiful, and she made me feel that my chanting was beautiful and that everybody around me was chanting beautifully, and that can just continue as long as we have these sound mechanisms to bring her voice to us. And more than that, you know, her legacy of the girls that she left behind, with the girls that she had contact with, like, you know, Haripriya in Mayapur, that time after Jamuna left, and Haripriya was there in Mayapur, and she chanted in the community hall there, and I mean, I think everybody's heart just split listening to Haripriya sing, and she brought Jamuna right into the room. And it's the same when, you know, when Janavi was speaking about Jamuna yesterday, I felt her just come into the room. And when we were at Dina Tarani's apartment chanting the other night, you know, Jamuna was in the room. And it's Jamuna and everything she embodied and everything she wanted to leave behind and everything she wanted to give, all of it was in the room. And like Janavi said yesterday, you know, the living and loving bhakti that was Jamuna. And I just pray that somehow in the association of everybody I ever come into contact with it, there's always that little bit of that beauty of Jamuna's living, loving bhakti somewhere in my dealings with them or theirs with me. And thank you so much. Jamuna Devi ki jai.